What's good? It's Colleen Witt, and Eating While Broke is back for Season 3, brought to you by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. We're serving up some real stories and life lessons from people like Van Lathan, DC Youngfly, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and many more. They're sharing the dishes that got them through their struggles and the wisdom they gained along the way. We're cooking up something special, so tune in every Thursday. Listen to Eating While Broke on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There are moments in life that are so special that you have to capture them and save them forever. They are one of those once-in-a-lifetime events, like your baby's first steps, the first time you bring your family pet home, or your daughter's first dance performance. With iPhone 15 Pro, more storage means you don't have to delete anything that can become a lasting memory one day. And it's important to be able to share these moments with family members who weren't there to see them in person. Store more, share more. Connect with iPhone 15 Pro on AT&T. Get iPhone 15 Pro on AT&T and get an iPad and Apple Watch for 99 cents per month each. AT&T, connecting changes everything. Limited time offer. Requires 0% APR 36-month agreement on each. Well-qualified customers. Other terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/iPhone for details.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Our American Stories. Much of what's been known about legendary NFL quarterback Brett Favre has been kept between the goalposts. So Greg Hengler took the 3.5-hour long drive south from here in Oxford, Mississippi, where we broadcast this show, and sat down with Brett in his Hattiesburg, Mississippi home. Here's Brett on tough love, telling the truth, and having a parenting style that's different than his father's. And this is part two of our 5-part series.
I coached 2 years of high school football, not because I wanted to. The head coach here at the high school, who I knew really well, kind of talked me into it. I don't really want to. It was the first year out of retirement. And I ended up loving it. But I felt like I was really tough on the kids. I didn't pick. My dad and the other coaches picked a lot. You big sissy. Not so much me. But... And that, of course, at that time, that's all I knew. Now, and looking back, as a coach or as a person in that position, doesn't have to be a coach, could be a teacher. I think our job is to mentor rather than pick. I mean, in some respects, it's like bullying, to where some of those kids didn't even want to come around. And don't get me wrong, I would joke around with these kids, but it would always be in a playful manner. And I knew that whoever it was could handle it. In fact, it may even help with team bonding. But I would be really demanding on what I knew they were capable of, only because I knew what they were capable of. It's just like talking to your kids, and you say, and I'm bouncing all around, but like my 20-year-old daughter, and I use this example all the time, like first or second year of American Idol, we're in Green Bay, and I'm studying, but we got American Idol on, and we love watching it. And I don't know if it was when the show was over, and she's probably 8. She comes over and she says, "Dad, I want to try out for American Idol. What do you think?" I said, "No." She said, "Why?" I said, "You can't sing." I said, "You're terrible." And I was just telling her the truth. I said, "Trust me. If I let you try out, someday you're going to say, 'What were you thinking?'" And I knew what she's capable of. And I mean, she's a smart kid. If she wanted to be a doctor, she could. She wants to be a lawyer, she could. But she's not going to be a rocket scientist. And I think as a coach, I demanded what I thought they were capable of achieving. And I felt like if they were not, there's a reason for it. Not studying, not paying attention in practice. But when they did well or did something that I'd been trying to coach them to do, I would reward them. I'd hug them, put my arm around them. Great job. And that's where my dad lacked. When you did something right, you're supposed to do it that way.
He didn't say anything.
No. Like, damn, about damn time. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. Yeah. And that's all I knew. And I was determined that I didn't think I'd ever coach, but if I did, that I would build them up as well. I mean, it's all right to get on their ass, but they got to know that when they do well, that you love them. The same can be said for life. Like my dad, and I don't say this with any regret, because I don't. But he never told us he loved us. But again, that was his. You know, I don't think any drill sergeant at the end of the day says, "I really love you guys." He may say it in a or a joking manner, like, "Now get your ass out and give me." So my mom, of course, was kind of the caregiver. Told you she loved you, and don't worry about your dad. But then when he walked in the room, it was tough love. And I was determined if I had boys, I would tell them I loved them as much as possible. Now, I had two girls and I told them I loved them, and Dad, I know, you don't have to tell me, but tell them over and over again. Now, am I a perfect parent? Absolutely not, but my dad was, I don't know if it was the way they were raised, I'm sure part of it was. My grandfather was real mellow, but he was up in the, people change. You know, and you know people, maybe your own family members that, like, you're not just the tough guy that you once were, you know, maybe with the grandkids. Like, where was that when I was a kid? So, going back to my dad, when I had Brittany and Breely, he didn't want to spend very much time with them. He didn't have patience. Kids running around screaming, he'd start yelling, and then I'd have to yell at him, and then it was bad. But you know, like I told people, I knew he loved me, us. He didn't have to say it. Now, as I got older, I understood it more and more. Sometimes through his yelling and screaming, that was his way of, it's kind of like saying, well, you're supposed to be able to do that, good job, but hell, that's what I've been coaching you to do. That was his way of saying, awesome. That was just the way it was. And again, it drove me, and I don't even know what I was being driven by. Maybe it was driving me, I'll get him to say, nice job, proud of you, without even knowing it. But it's funny, when he would come up to Green Bay, he'd retire. And this is more just kind of a funny exchange between us. But he would get in the truck after the game. It'd be a good game. He'd say, well, you'd have completed 30-for-30 if you'd have thrown three more better passes. And I'm like, look, for someone who never threw the ball, don't tell me how to throw. And he just shut up. There was nothing he could say. It was the truth. why'd you miss that read? I'm like, I don't even want to hear it. You never coached me one thing about reading. It was hitting a tackle on dummy and doing monkey rolls and, you know, which I wouldn't trade it. It worked out. But don't tell me how to throw. But up until the end, I mean, he was determined to coach me up. Now all of a sudden he's going to coach me up on the ins and outs of the passing game. And all. He didn't know shit from Shinola when it came to the passing game.
And you're listening to Brett Favre talking about his dad, who was his coach when he was in high school, and they never threw the ball. And we're going to continue. If you'd like to hear more on Brett Favre's life, this is part two of a five-part series. Brett Favre's story, this one about his father, about parenting, about love and discipline, here on Our American Stories.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.